In the 73rd Psalm, in the 25th verse, the psalmist asks a question and then makes a statement. The question is this: whom have I in heaven but thee? And then the statement that immediately follows: there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. The psalmist has come to the realization that all he has really is God. Whenever all is said and done, all he has is God. All he needs is God, and all he wants is the Lord. I was at a funeral service recently, and the young lady who had passed away was a believer. She loved the Lord. She was just 41 years of age, and she left behind a wonderful, radiant, and glowing testimony. And in the midst of all of the sadness of the funeral service, there was such a sense of assurance and such a challenge to my own heart and such a sense of victory that it really, really melted this heart of mine. This young lady loved the Lord, and she had a big smile on her face, and she loved to sing, and she loved to witness, and she loved to pray, and she lived the Christian life every day and left behind a wonderful testimony. And some of the family read from the Bible, and the minister obviously preached from the Word of God too. Philippians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul, the psalmist, and that young lady had all made the same realization. We've one life on this earth. We're here for the glory of God. We ought to live to his glory. And then whenever life is over and we've known the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, it's victory and blessedness for all eternity. And it's all because of the cross, all because of Calvary, because of a Saviour who came into this world and shed his precious blood. By and by, all that we have is the Lord. We might have friends, we might have family, but someday we will have to leave them or they will have to leave us. But God remains ever constant. He's the unchangeable and unchanging God. And the psalmist Asaph recognises this. Whom have I in heaven but thee? The answer, of course, is nobody. And there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. What a wonderful sense of victory the psalmist lived in. But you know, it wasn't always like that for him. The psalm begins with the words, Psalm 73, verse 1, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to of such as are of a clean heart." And the psalmist knew that, he believed that, he understood that, he recognized that. But his experience, as we read on through the psalm, was one of discouragement in many respects. He says in the second verse, "As for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped." And he had got to a place in his life where he was acknowledging, "I'm finding it difficult to go on another step. I'm finding it hard to keep living for God. I'm finding it hard to walk the narrow way. I feel that I'm slipping and sliding and drawing back a little bit. And I'm just not in the place where I once was or where I want to be. My feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." And maybe as you listen today, that's you. Your feet are almost gone. You're at your end of your tether. You find it hard to live in this world, in this society. The problems and the trials and the burdens of life encroaching upon you. Your feet are almost gone. Your steps have well nigh slipped. And you wonder, Can I survive? Can I finish the race? Can I live out the Christian life the way I once endeavoured to do so? Well, the psalmist acknowledges absolutely honestly, "My feet are almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." And he expresses as well, very honestly, the reason for that. He says, "I was envious at the prosperity of the wicked." If you just read down through Psalm 73 from the third verse down to the 12th verse, you'll see how the psalmist looks at the world around him, the ungodly, and they seem to prosper. They seem to do well. They don't have the same trials and afflictions that he has. And it seems that for them, life is a lot easier than it is for him. And he becomes envious of them. He begins to wonder, "I've cleansed my hands in vain." And he's wondering, "Is it worth it all living this type of life, trying to strive after God and live to the glory of God whenever it's so hard, it's all uphill, it's difficult, the way is straight, the way is narrow, there are many pitfalls and snares and temptations and things that beset us and discourage us. And yet whenever I look at the world," he says, "they just seem to go on and they're enjoying themselves, it seems, and he seems to think, I'm missing out on so much. But then he makes a realization in verse number 17. He says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their latter end. You see, the psalmist has, in a sense, got his eyes off the Lord. He's forgotten eternal realities and eternal values. He has looked around at people that are living for time, and temporarily he's wanted that and he's coveted that. And it seems that he's been away from the house of God for a while, away from the people of God. And whenever he goes back to the sanctuary, back to the house of God, all things come together as they should. And he realizes that the vast majority of people are only living for today. They never think about their latter end. They never think about their eternal destiny. And all of a sudden his heart cries out and he realizes there are people all around him in the world that are lost. And there's a heaven for him. And there's a hell that he's been saved from. And the ungodly that seem to prosper in the midst of living contrary to God. He realizes that for them it'll be payday someday. And then he makes this remarkable statement. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. And friends, whenever all is said and done, all that we have is God. Whom have I in heaven but thee? We brought nothing into this world. We'll take nothing out of it. We'll have to leave our homes, our friends, our loved ones, our families behind. And then go out and stand before the Lord and give an account of our lives. And we have nothing other than him. He is all we have. He is also all we need. And for the psalmist here, he was all that the psalmist desired. There's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. And as I sat in that funeral service just a little while ago, and that girl's life was presented before that great congregation, and it just made me think about living afresh for the Lord, seeking first his kingdom, living unto his glory, living for Christ, and then to die as gain. Maybe you haven't started out in the Christian life at all, but God has been speaking to you and you realize that this world is empty, and you look at those around and you look at things in social media and you think everybody seems to be doing well. But listen, many of us forget eternity, and we forget sometimes about the eternal God. Hebrews chapter 12 encourages us to look on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Maybe you've been wearied, you're discouraged, you're fainting, your feet are slipping, they're almost gone. Let's get our eyes back on the Lord. Back on the cross, the Son of God loved us, gave himself for us, coming again for us. And whenever we live to his glory and we recognize he's all I have, he's all I need, and then he's all I want, changes everything. May God bless you, and we'll see you next time.